Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we give you praise and glory. For as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So let it be for us. Let that light shine into our hearts, giving us revelation, knowledge, and understanding today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the wisdom pillar of knowledge. That's what we're covering today. Right off the bat, we see that knowledge is one of the pillars of wisdom that are mentioned in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. Our pivotal scripture for this series is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, which says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. So that's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. So that way we see that wisdom is made up of seven pillars. And there are seven pillars that are holding up the house that wisdom is building or built. And we talked about cracks that may appear in the house if there is some fault with one or more of the pillars, and how those cracks can either be prevented in a house that's just been built if they set the pillars right, or you'll be fixed if there's already cracks in there. Proverbs chapter 8 verses 12 to 13 gives us many things and insight into several of these pillars. We're going to get into those scriptures in a bit. And also Proverbs 24 verses 3 to 6. And also Proverbs, many other parts in the book of Proverbs. So we'll be getting into those scriptures in a bit. But the foundational scriptures will be Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1. And Proverbs 8, verses 12 to 14. Well, let's go straight to the pillar of knowledge today. The wisdom pillar of knowledge. Really interesting. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 8. We're talking of verses 12 to 14. I'm going to go through some of these scriptures quickly because there's a lot to be said about knowledge. So we're just going to share the scriptures quickly. But it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. We covered that prudence yesterday. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. So we see right away knowledge is mentioned. Well, so knowledge is a pillar of wisdom. It is also the capacity that leads to witty inventions and discoveries. As you see here in Proverbs 8, 12. Knowledge is what gives people the ability to come up with, you know, incredible inventions and solutions. We'll talk about that in a bit. According to definitions, dictionary definitions, and some other definitions that the Holy Spirit gave, I put it all together. Knowledge can be considered as facts, information, awareness, comprehension, familiarity, intelligence, and skills acquired by a person through experience or learning. Now, that's a mouthful. You know, so let me say that again. I have to write that down. Facts, information, awareness, comprehension, familiarity, intelligence, and skills acquired by a person through learning or experience. I put that together from many different definitions. Knowledge is also the capacity. Now, this is one of the punchlines today. It is the capacity to use acquired information to to inspire the mind to create solutions. Now, so let me say that again. The capacity to use acquired information. We already talked about gathering facts, information, awareness, comprehension, and all these things. But the capacity to use the acquired information to inspire the mind to create solutions. That's knowledge. Knowledge is the capacity that's behind that. Now, here's another punchline. At the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. So, that's it. You know, knowledge is the king at the corridors of influence. And we're going to see how knowledge gives you advantage, you know, over many things. Now, wisdom builds the house. Understanding establishes it. But it is by knowledge that the chambers are filled with precious and pleasant things. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. So you can see the relationships between wisdom, between understanding, and between knowledge. So powerful. Now let's read that again. True wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Which means you're building a house, you know, and you are establishing it. Wisdom builds it. Understanding establishes it. But it's still empty until knowledge comes across. You know, it's an empty house still. But knowledge is what will fill the chambers. True knowledge is how the chambers will be filled with precious and pleasant riches. That is so deep. Consider that another punchline today. Now, the same truth is revealed about God's actions and the creation of the world. You know, God, he founded the earth by wisdom, right? He established the heavens by understanding, but it was by his knowledge that he hid treasures underneath the earth. And it takes knowledge to discover and unearth those things that were hidden in the depths of the earth. You know, so let's read that in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. This same concept that Proverbs 24 describes, we also find it here when it's even talking about the Lord. See, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." You know, so Proverbs 24 says, house is built by wisdom. Okay. And by understanding, he established the heavens. Proverbs 24 says the same thing. The house is built by wisdom. It's established by understanding. But the chambers of it are filled by knowledge. Well, let's look at Proverbs 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. And by his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and he hid things in the depths of the earth. And you can't find those things. The precious stones are hidden in the depths of the earth by his knowledge. And it's going to take tremendous knowledge and a lot of work sometimes to get to the deep things that are buried. But it's by knowledge that he hid those things there. And it takes knowledge also, you know, to discover the things that God has hidden. You know, why did God hide these things? Well, because he wants people to search. Now, it takes diligence and dedication to acquire knowledge. And knowledge must be sought. You can't, you know, you're not just going to have knowledge just by being imputed unto you. There's no such thing. Knowledge must be sought, and there must be diligence and dedication in order to acquire knowledge. Let's see what Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5 says about that. we have to seek for knowledge, and we have to have diligence, you know, to acquire the things that knowledge would teach. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, that means you're seeking for it, and lifted all thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as he treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, or even knowledge that comes from God. But we have to, you know, seek for it, and we have to search for it. And it takes diligence. It's not just, you know, haphazard or lazy kind of thing. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 15. It takes diligence, you know, must be taken. It says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. You have to seek in order to get. You know, knowledge is important. And those, if you are prudent, you will seek for it. If you think you are wise, you will search for it. That's what Proverbs 18 and 15 is telling us here. You know, the wise, the prudent, they seek out knowledge, you know, to gain an advantage. We're going to talk about, you know, that a bit more here in a bit. Now, the capacity to seek out all kinds of learning is also knowledge. Knowledge means, a person that is of real deep knowledge will know a little about a lot of things. You may not be an expert in everything, but you will know something about many things. And this is what we must try to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us how this man did it. You know, he took time to search out, you know, many things. He said, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the earth. You know, all things. And it seemed like a, you know, budding something, but he had the diligence, he had the perseverance, and he had the self-discipline to do it. And I tell you what, you know, they sought for his wisdom from all the ends of the earth. But it wasn't just like that. He gave himself to seek out things. God gave him an understanding heart, but he himself applied his mind to search out knowledge. In fact, people said he wrote, you know, 3,000 proverbs and so on and so forth. You know, all these things that are here in the Bible. Solomon did. Now, you know, so you can see how, powerful, you know, knowledge is. You don't have to be an expert in everything, but you should have a little knowledge about everything. You know, I'll tell you something also that Paul said to Timothy. He said in Timothy chapter 4, was talking to him. He said, look, the only way that, because he was telling him, give attendance to learning, right? And don't let anybody despise your, you know, your youth. But the only way that you're going to not be despised is you have to be able to hold your own. It's basically what he's saying here. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was a young man, and, you know, he was a leader, was not just a youth leader. He was a leader, period. So there were elders there. You know, that's why he was giving commandments. You know, don't just, you know, rebuke an elder anyhow. Don't just, do this and so on and so forth. He had to deal with elders, you know, but he was a young man. And the only way, you know, Paul is giving him instructions here. I said, don't let any man despise your youth, you know, but Be an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. So this is the real secret of how they are not going to despise you. Because you're going to carry knowledge. You know, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, if somebody is knowledgeable about some topic that is being discussed in circles of, you know, people that are repute, no matter their age, they will not despise him. I mean, they will say, wow. It's like Jesus, when he was at the age of 12, he was among scholars and philosophers and doctors of law. But he had knowledge. You know, he knew many things that they themselves didn't even know. And he was able to ask them questions and say, where did this young boy get all this stuff? And so they could not despise him because he carried a lot of knowledge. In fact, they respected him. You know, so knowledge is what puts you in that circle. You know, otherwise, you know, they may despise you. You know, especially if you look like you are just a young person and they may think you don't know anything. You know, so in fact, let me say this right now. Some people that say they have, you know, stage fright and all of that, when people try to talk on the stage before people and they have stage fright, some of the times you can trace it because they are not competent in the topic. If you are competent in the topic, all you have to do is just discuss the topic. You can come out there competently and discuss the topic. And you don't need to be afraid of their faces. Now, in the book of, chapter of First Timothy, let me read one more verse before I go to Second Timothy. Let's read also verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know, when Paul himself used to write, he said, look, concerning the things, you know, that I wrote unto you, you know my knowledge in the mystery of the gospel and so forth. Telling Timothy here, look, learn these things so that your profiting may appear unto all. Give your attendance to doctrine. You have to learn the doctrine. You have to learn these things. Give yourself wholly unto them. And of course, you know, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, what he told him, he said, you know, study to show yourself approved. You know, you got to study. If you don't study, then you won't know a lot of things. You know, because you will just be like a novice. But you study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, even God wants to see that you have knowledge. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you must study. And knowledge is what you gain, you know, by studying. Here are some things that the scripture warns us of about lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Wow. You know, so what does that really mean? Well, it means that there are many things that you will miss out on if you have no knowledge. You know, you miss out on everything. You become impoverished if you do not have knowledge. Knowledge is what closes, you know, that gap. Let's read it the way it actually says it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, this is how serious it is with God. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Now, why? I mean, why should God reject me because I reject knowledge? You know, it's a serious thing. Thou should reject me. I mean, he said, I will also reject thee that thou should not be a priest unto me. You want to be a priest? A teaching priest must have knowledge. You can't just come up and be saying things that you don't know. Knowledge. You know, seeing that thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I will also forsake thy children. Now, that is an absolute warning. All because the person chose not to give their hearts to knowledge. Well, there are many things behind that actually. Because if you don't have the knowledge of God, you will not be able to pass it on to your children as well. And so you can see how serious the lack of knowledge is taken by even God. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, you know, this is a problem with many underdeveloped nations. What this thing says here in Isaiah 5, verse 13. And we see that, you know, some of us that come from some of these African countries, like where I come from, you say it's a big problem, you know. So it says that that people go into captivity because they have no knowledge. No knowledge. You know, because the knowledge is withholding from them because they don't seek the knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, a multitude dried up with thirst. This is talking to at even the national level. You know, this is a serious concept. Well, let's keep going. You know, when we talk about even spiritual things, we must have knowledge of Christ, spiritual things. I mean, the goal, part of the goal that we are supposed to get to is described in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And the way that God describes it there, he says that, you know, these gifts, you know, Ephesians 4, 11 and 13, these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, these things are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So knowledge is so important. You know, this is something that we must strive towards, even in spiritual things and material things as well. Knowledge is so important. Listen to the way that Peter puts it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. It calls it, you know, even the grace of God, he says, comes to you, you know, through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's powerful stuff. You know, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So knowledge is important. And spiritual knowledge of Christ is what brings us into maturity. You know, to know him is to love him. But to know him, you have to seek him. When you seek him and you know him, then you begin to love him, you begin to worship him. And what you see in him, what you know of him, and you adore of him is what you can become. This is the process. If we don't know, how can you love somebody you don't know? You know, so the knowledge, and he says, look, you know, add to your faith virtue and add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance and so forth. In that same second Peter chapter 1, beginning from verse 5, you know, to about verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, so these scriptures keep pounding on knowledge. But it's not just head knowledge. It's the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives. Head knowledge doesn't really give us an advantage. But the Holy Spirit, when he gives the true knowledge, he gives you an advantage. And at the end, you know, we're told, Daniel is even told, he said, look, go your way, Daniel. You know, seal up some of these things. Go your way. And at the end, it shall all come to light, because knowledge shall increase. Daniel chapter 12, and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Well, many will run to and fro. You know, they're going to be in search of it, and knowledge shall be increased. I mean, have you seen how knowledge is increasing? I mean, people, if you look at technology today and just think back just 20 years ago, compare, you see the advancement. You know, when I was, you know, a young man going to, you know, going to college for the first time, you know, the computers that we were using back then, they used to be the size of a whole room with punch cards and things like that. I mean, the computer, my little phone that's in front of me right now has a computer that's more powerful than all those big ones that we used to have in those days. I mean, computer technology is everywhere. You know, we talk about Internet of Things. It's everywhere. There's knowledge. There's chips in your car everywhere. Knowledge has increased. I mean, cars can almost practically drive themselves now. You know, I mean, it's just amazing the knowledge that has increased. Well, knowledge is increasing in the world, but we must also parallel that knowledge. You know, the knowledge of God is also increasing, ladies and gentlemen, and we must parallel it, you know. So the knowledge of God is also coming to the children of God. Listen to this in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I mean, it's interesting how this scripture puts its name. Now, let me read that scripture again. And notice that it does not say that the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Well, we know that. But in this particular scripture, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, for the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. It doesn't say that. It says, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Why do we need to know the glory of God? Why not just have it? This is how important knowledge is. The earth is going to be filled not only with the glory of God, but it will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. For to know his glory is to enter into that glory. Hallelujah. Got to know it. Praise God. So, knowledge is so powerful on every side, physical and spiritual. You know, listen to the auditioning in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when he was trying to, you know, he commanded his recruiters to recruit some people to come into, you know, the palace. There are 7 qualifications that he was looking for in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 3, you know, to 4. Let's look at the qualifications that Nebuchadnezzar told his recruiters to look for, people that will stand before the king. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Princes. Now, these people were already princes, Daniel and all these people, you know, and the children, listen to this, children in whom there is no blemish, children that are well favored, children that are skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom, I mean, who we might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You know, so they were looking for no blemish. Well, they were healthy looking. They were well favored. They were already princes. They are skillful in wisdom. Number 4, cunning in knowledge. Understanding science, ability to stand before the king's palace. We read that also yesterday in Proverbs 22:29. Remember, you know, someone that's diligent, you know, in his ways, will stand before kings and not before men. They have the aptitude for learning. These 7 things he was looking for. You know, but knowledge, the way he put knowledge, he said, cunning. I mean, they know knowledge. They can use it to their advantage. That's what cunning in knowledge means. Now, Daniel himself, he understood by the books. In Daniel chapter 9, you were told in the first two verses, you know, especially verse 2, he understood by studying the, you know, the prophecies of Jeremiah. He understood the time that was to be assigned to the desolations of Jerusalem. He understood that that was coming to an end. And he said, I, Daniel, I understood by the books the time that was allotted for this. And so he read these things and he understood. Now, if he hadn't read anything, there's no way he could have understood anything. But he understood. He said, I understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Israel. And because he had understanding through reading and studying the prophecies of Jeremiah, then he began to put his face to seek the Lord. You know, so powerful stuff about knowledge. Now, students, let me talk to students. And you can share this lesson with students if they are not here. But if you are here and you are a student, you know, here's what happens to students. When you study very well, you go confidently to the exam hall. But if you have not studied, you'll be afraid of the exam. It's that simple. I mean, if you have studied and you have mastered the thing, you'll be confident. And if you are not studied, then you'll be afraid of the exam. So you can see how powerful the studying and the knowledge is important. I mean, the people who have advanced knowledge, they are being sought out as authorities in their fields. It's kind of like people who go to school, they come out and they have a PhD. I mean, they are like on top of the learning ladder. And people seek them out as authorities. But it took diligence. It took time for them to study and acquire that knowledge. Sometimes it feels like it's sore travail. You know, Ecclesiastes 1:13 says it's like a sore travail at first. But if you persevere, my goodness, you know, it'll bring you to an advantage. You know, even in the things of God, I'm mixing these things back and forth. The knowledge of the Son of God is a goal that we must attain. Paul said in Philippians 3 verses 8 and 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. My goodness, that I may know him. And Paul was still seeking to know the Lord, even after all the great things, all the revelations, and so on and so forth that he has seen, you know, but he's still seeking to know him, that I may know him. And even the Lord Jesus himself, he had to learn knowledge, you know, and things. As a young man, he had to study and to know things, you know, prepare himself for 30 years, come out and be a rabbi, you know. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, famous chapter that we all refer to, it talks about he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Many of us can quote that, you know, in our head. But let's look at, you know, verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, but shall bear their iniquities. Jesus had to learn the knowledge, you know, of how he's going to win this thing back from the devil. You know, he had to learn it. And then he finally said, yeah, you know, I'm going to pay the ransom. The ransom that I will pay is my life. I mean, my life that I will lay down for the life of the world. And he figured it out. He had to learn knowledge. And the Lord says, by his knowledge, he will justify many. So we can see that even in the things of God, you know, Jesus says here in John 8 and 32, he said, and ye shall know the truth. Praise God. It's so important that we have knowledge of the truth. The way Jesus put it here in John 8 and verse 32, the way he put it is, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the way Jesus put it. Now, the truth by itself does not make anybody free. That's another punchline for today. The truth is out there. Until you discover it and you know it, it will not set you free. So it is really the truth that you know that can make you free. If you don't know the truth, it's like I often say about promise. If you don't know what was promised, then it's not a promise to you because you don't know it was promised. Now, if you don't know the truth, then it can't make you free because you don't know it. It is the truth that you know. When you know the truth of the grace of God over legalism and things like that, that's what sets people free. Hallelujah. When you know the truth about the power of the Holy Spirit that can redeem and transform a life from a sinful life to a life that walks a righteous and holy life before God. When you know that, it's the power that can liberate you and set you free. But if you don't know it, it can't help you. So it is the truth that you know that can set you free. Not just truth by itself. Truth by itself doesn't set anybody free. The Bible is here full of truths. Would it set anybody free? No. It only set free the people that know what it says. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to know that. Now, on the other hand, there are some people that are always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that gets them nowhere. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 talks about in the last days, all these things that will happen. People who are learning, but they're not coming to knowledge. That's not the kind of learning that we're talking about here. We're talking about learning that stays with you because it is driven by the Holy Spirit. It's wisdom from above. It's driven by the Holy Spirit and it stays with you. And you learn and you come to the knowledge of the truth. You're not just learning and not coming to the knowledge of the truth like the people in 2 Timothy 3, 7. So that's not us. Daniel 11, 32, it talks about even, you know, the power to walk exploits in the kingdom comes by the knowledge of God. The last half of Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, and the people that do know their God shall do exploits. I mean, so you can see how important this knowledge is. Now, let's talk about some additional things that you need to know about knowledge. And I'm going to mention four important things here. Number one, it is what you know that others don't know that gives you an advantage, you know, over them. That's why we go to school for many years. You know, you go to school for many years and God bless teachers. I mean, the powerful ministry that they have. You know, I hope they realize that the work that teachers do. I'm talking of even, you know, in the natural sphere of learning. And also in the things of the spirit. Teachers, they are indispensable. Because the teachers are the ones that can break down even the truth of the word of God. Break it down for you to learn it. And if you don't know it, it'll be over your head. You know, you can see people demonstrating the power of God, but you just don't know what's going on. You know, life is void because you know, we need teachers in our lives to break down the truth of the Word of God for us. Now, that's why we go to school for many years. I mean, just count the number of years that people can go to school before they become an authority. Remember the other day we talked about growing your talent into a skill. You develop your skill to competence. You develop that competence to expertise. And finally, you become an authority. Well, it takes many years. Some people go to, you know, they go to preschool, they go to kindergarten, they go to grade school, then they go to, in some cases, they call it middle school, then they go to high school, then they go to college. And then after the college, they might even go and specialize and get a, you know, master's degree or a PhD degree. I mean, when you count all those years that people put in, you know, several years in grade school, you know, a couple years in middle school, 4 more years in high school, 4 years in college. And, you know, if depending on the, you know, superior learning that you go for, a few other years. And some practices, like you're going to be a doctor, then you have to do extra years in residency and all that. I mean, sometimes 20 years or more. And then when they come out, they're an authority. And they have a lot, and they know many things that people don't know, others, because they've learned. You know, so knowledge is what gives you an advantage. You know, about, I mean, things that gives you an advantage. And, you know, learning, people say, is an equalizer. You know, if you learn, you can hold your own. If you really learn and know your stuff. I remember the years that I used to be a consultant traveling all over this place, this country. And I remember even when I first came into this country, many years ago, in 1983, you know, I touted myself as a person of knowledge and skill. That's what gave me an advantage. You know, people say you have a disadvantage because you are black. You're coming from Nigeria. You are a foreigner. You are this and that. You know, you have a disadvantage. And I say, no, I have an advantage because I have knowledge. Superior knowledge that these people may not have. I'm going to show them. You know, that I can hold my own and I have knowledge. Well, and I did have knowledge. With the grace of God and the favor of God, the knowledge that I had gave me an advantage, whereas I should have been in disadvantage. And I was never at a disadvantage. From day one, I was never at a disadvantage in this country. You know, when I came, Lord put me on top right away because I knew certain things that others didn't know. Many people thought, well, you have to come to this country and be at a disadvantage. I knew that I can come into this country and be at an advantage right away. And I was. You know, so that's a topic for another day. But you can, you know, it is the knowledge that you have that gives you advantage. You also need, that's number one. Number two, you need knowledge to remain competitive, even in the marketplace. You know, to keep up with technology, even if you say, well, I'm an entrepreneur or this and that. If you don't know technology, you will be left behind. You know, back in the day, you know, many years ago, everything you did, you had to learn English and math, no matter what you're going to learn. Even you say, well, you know, I don't need math because I'm going to be a fine artist. No, you still have to. Those are basic things you have to learn in school. Well, today it's beyond that. If you don't know technology today, you'll be so left behind. I mean, there are people that come from, you know, from other countries coming to this nation, you know, the United States. And when they try to take some of these exams, they are all in computers and things like that. And if they haven't had that training and that skill, they may not do well, even though they know the material, you know, but they may stumble. Because, you know, they don't understand how to use the computer to their advantage. And maybe when you're taking a computer-driven test and the computer is timing you and so on and so forth, if you're not used to it, I've known people who know the stuff but fail the exam because They were intimidated by the, you know, the way the computer presented the exam, and so on and so forth, you know. So learning, and you have to stay to even learn. Some people want to go into business, you know, say, well, I'm going to go into business. And they don't take their time to learn, you know, the business. That's a recipe for disaster. Disaster is going to slam into their face, but they don't even understand what they're going into, you know, and there is no shortcut to it. You got to learn the trade, you know, take your time. And if somebody says, well, the Lord's moving upon me to go into business, well, I say to you, well, go and learn the business, you know, because you can't go on the Lord's moving upon me. You know, you have to learn the business, you know what's, you know, underlining on how to do it. You have to learn the business. That's economics. And they want to go into business. They're going to fail. You have to learn these things. You know, so learning, you know, is important. Everything, you know, don't even venture into anything. Spend time to learn about it first. You know, do you know that even great athletes, they do a lot of learning? It's not just the physical, you know, prowess only. They learn to improve their skills. They watch tapes. They do things. Even people who, you know, play, like, you know, sports and games, basketball and all these things, you know, I've been told that some of the great heroes, you know, Hall of Fame of some of these great sports, they studied many hours of the tapes of their opponents' matches and things like that. They study to show, to know. They have playbooks. They study. They know the moves. They know what the others are doing and so on and so forth. It takes time. And it's the studying and the knowledge that, you know, that gives you an advantage. Now, as I said before, number three, in a platform of influence, knowledge is what brings you an advantage and gives you wealth and riches. We read that already in Proverbs 24. Knowledge is what will fill the house and the chambers thereof with riches. If you don't have knowledge, you'll be at a disadvantage. Even people who are making money off of other people today, a lot of people are making money off of other people's ignorance, you know. That's the world of capitalism. You make money off of the ignorance of others. That's what people are doing. You know, so you need to learn and have to get an advantage. You have to learn. Learning also, even in spiritual things, you have to learn and have discernment. If you don't know the tactics that people are using to scam you, you will be in trouble. You know, you have to learn the tricks of these scammers, you know, and people, you know, the games that people play to scam people. They can scam you, you know, they can hack your account, they can scam you in many ways. If you're not, you know, even financial institutions today, you know, when you go into many of their sites now, if you try to log into your account, they'll have this big warning on this page, on the splash page, telling you and trying to warn you against scammers and things like that. They're trying to pass knowledge. Knowledge can be a great defense. Hallelujah. Yeah. But if you don't know, you just be like, you know, you just be naive and they take advantage of you. You know, same thing even in platforms such as this. If you don't know what you should know, people will take advantage of you even in the name of the Lord. They can come and try to sell you prophecies and things like that. Prophesy you into your season. If you don't know what you already have freely of God, some people will try to sell it to you. And many people fall for these things. You know, just come here and tell you some outlandish things, give you some prophecies, and tell you that you got to sow into that prophecy and so on. You know, whereas if you knew what God freely gave you, you wouldn't even have to fall for all that trickery, you know. But we've been warned. Jesus used to say, "Lo, I have told you before." So knowledge is what gives you an advantage, it gives you a competitive advantage. It also even is a defense for you. Now, number four, powerful and great leaders of tomorrow. You know, what are they doing today? Well, they are learning and reading today. Well, those who are going to be poor tomorrow are spending their time today watching TV, playing video games and all these things. You know, this is even for the youth. Those who are spending their time learning, you know, we've seen many people that come. I mean, most people, especially I know that people from Nigeria, the country where I come from, when they come into the U.S., they do very well because they know how to learn, how to study. And many of them get into great positions. So they, you know, got knowledge, so it gives you an advantage. It's that simple. But if you don't know how to learn, you will be spending your time, wasting your time instead of, you know, redeeming the time. Don't spend your time on things that are meaningless. You know, that's also for young people. Now, let's look at some of the benefits quickly of knowledge. Well, some of it we've already called out, but I'm going to summarize them here. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 2 and 3. Knowledge is what's going to bring precious things into your life. You're going to have knowledge. You're going to learn how to do it. If you don't have knowledge, you will make a lot of mistakes. But knowledge can be acquired even from mistakes. You can learn how the thing does not work. You know, rather than see it as a failure, you now have learned something. You've learned that that doesn't work that way. Knowledge about many things is essential to success in our lives. We read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, here's the, you know, what Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 12 says, the excellency of knowledge. You know, I mean, why does it use that phrase? I mean, let me read it to you in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 12. You know, it says, wisdom is a defense. Remember, I was talking about it can be a defense. Wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Wow. I mean, the things that can be a defense for you, but it's saying among them, knowledge is excellent. You know, the excellency of knowledge is that if you know how to use it right, you know, some people say wisdom is the application of knowledge. Maybe. But if you don't have that knowledge, you can't apply it. You know, so knowledge is powerful. It's powerful. Now, let me continue here with some of the other benefits. We already talked about knowledge is what gives you an advantage, you know, an advantage over others. Let's read Proverbs chapter 24. And verse 5. Now, this Proverbs 24 is a powerful thing that reveals to us the relationship between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. But let's read verse 5. It says, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. So, right away from that, we see that even knowledge, you know, knowledge is telling you that you have strength. In this case, strength means advantage. You know, strength is what gives you, I mean, strength here, knowledge, that to talk about strength here, is an advantage. If you're stronger than somebody, you have an advantage over them. So you have a position, if you're in a position of strength, you know, if you want to negotiate a deal, you've got to learn, you have to study, and that will put you in a position of strength. Lawyers and these people who know how to argue these things, they have to learn and study. So they know the facts, they know how to present these things, and it gives them an advantage. You know, and even lawyers, you know, they can twist things up just because they have an advantage of how to play the rules that the other person may not know. That's why you don't ever go up against a lawyer without one in your corner yourself, because they have knowledge of things that you don't know, and they twist you up. You know, but knowledge is so powerful. Wisdom and knowledge bring stability and even strength of salvation. That's right. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. You know, even, you know, knowledge and salvation. I mean, even salvation. Listen to how it says this. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. You know, and the strength of salvation. You know, so wisdom and knowledge can even bring you into salvation. And of course, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. You can see some of those pillars, how they are working together here as well. Powerful stuff, this knowledge. Now, here's a few more before I wrap it up. The knowledge, we've already talked about the knowledge of God, bring you into many exploits. Daniel 11, 32. But let's look at the prayer that Paul used to pray for some of his converts. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at how he prayed. He would say, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks of you, I mean for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That, here's his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what Paul used to pray for people, you know, that he led to the Lord, that the Lord would give them wisdom, you know, and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Why was that knowledge of, you know, so that your, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened? Well, that comes from knowledge of the Holy Spirit, you know, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and that you may know what the riches of the glory of God is that he has given as an inheritance to the saints. And that you may know what the exceeding greatness of his power is towards us who believe. This power that I mean, all of this is about knowledge. You have to know the things that God has done for us. You have to know the things that are freely given of us in God. You have to know that God has set Christ above principality and powers. You have to know that Christ has given us an invitation to sit right there with him. You have to know these things. If you don't know these things, then the devil tries to make people not to know these things, you know, and some people don't want to pray the prayers to know. They leave it to others. You go hear it from God and you come tell it to us. What about you? You know, you must spend the time, you know, the capital to build the spiritual capacity of knowledge on your own. Knowledge of the scriptures will also help you to understand the things that are freely given of you of God. I've said that about two or three times already, but here's the scripture for that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. You know, when you know the scriptures, then you will know the things that are freely given unto us of God. You say, we have not received, you know, the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given. I mean, on and on and on and on throughout the scriptures, you know, it teaches us about knowledge and why it is so important. Now, don't forget that at the corridors of influence, knowledge is the key. When you're standing around people and you know your stuff, then you can hold your own, you know. Now, to know God and his son is eternal life. I mean, this is the summary of everything that we can say. Knowledge is behind even eternal life. Now, that's spiritual knowledge. That's not head knowledge. Listen to the way that John chapter 17 and verse 3 puts it. the knowledge that we have from God concerning His Son is what gives us eternal life. He says, and this is life eternal. This is Jesus Himself praying. You know, He's praying, you know, here in this powerful prayer in John chapter 17. And one of the first things He prays about is that, look, you know, the hour is come, He said, that your Son, you know, glorify your Son, that He may also glorify thee. That has given Him power over all flesh. I should give to them eternal life, to as many as you have given Him. And Jesus is going to describe what eternal life is here, Himself. And He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee as the only true God, and that they may know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life. Behind eternal life is the knowledge of God. Can't have eternal life if you don't know that. Can't have eternal life if you don't know who Jesus is. Can't do it. You know, so you can see how powerful knowledge is. And John, who was the writer of this Gospel of John, he would state the same thing again in 1 John when he wrote his epistle. 1 John chapter 5. He's going to say the same thing that Jesus was saying here. He'll say it a different way. Let's read 1 John chapter 5, you know, and verse 20. You know, he says, look, and we know, and I see that knowledge again, that the Son of God has come, and He has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. I'm always putting an emphasis where we see the word know. You know, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God, and to know Him is eternal life. That's what John is saying here. So you can see from the realms of knowledge in, you know, even in the things of the world, and knowledge in spiritual things, you cannot get away from it. You know, knowledge encompasses all these things. And even the deep things that are hidden in the mind of the Spirit, it is the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy, we're told that is understanding. For you to get the knowledge, to get the true knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives, and to get the true knowledge of the things of God, it comes from the Holy Spirit, you know. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me wrap it up here to tell you that, look, the fear of the Lord, we are told, is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. But the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Behind understanding is knowledge. You know, and knowledge is one of the pillars of wisdom that gives us, you know, understanding of even how to find witty inventions, come up with solutions. You know, the people that have given us many solutions over the ages, scientists that have come up with novel ideas, and have given us creativity over the years. They had knowledge. They studied. And they had inspiration from God as well. Hallelujah. This is what brings us that knowledge. I'll be talking about inspiration of the Almighty in upcoming lessons. You know, but today was about knowledge. Our prayer today is going to be, Lord, give me this wisdom pillar of knowledge in my life. Help me to give my heart to seek out knowledge so that my life may be filled with treasures and precious things. Even like it says in Proverbs 24, verses 2 and 3. And help me also to grow in the knowledge of the truth and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last but not the least, you know, let me read Jeremiah 9 and verse 29 to us. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. let me read that to us to wrap up this prayer. And then I'm going to pray in a minute. You know, that God will teach our hearts our knowledge. You know, he says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. I mean, these are things that normally give people an advantage, you know. But what should you glory in? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You know, this is the kind of thing that gives you an advantage in the spirit. The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Son of God. You know, let him glory in this, that he knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. So that knowledge of the things of God and the knowledge of the Lord himself is how we are going to wrap this up. So from human spheres to even the kingdom things, knowledge is at the core of it all. You know, there was incredible knowledge that God gave to Adam at the beginning. He had knowledge like God. He had the mind of God. When God breathed into him in Genesis 2 and 7, breathed into him, that breath of God carried a total package. He had incredible knowledge. And God would just stand back and ask him, okay, what are you going to call this one? And he had knowledge. It was incredible. Nobody taught it to him, but God imputed it into him. He had that knowledge. And by that knowledge, he named all the animals and did incredible things. Well, you know, now we must learn it. You know, Adam was a special case. He was a grown man when he came into this world. Well, Eve was a grown woman when she came into this world. Those two were special cases. No other person was a grown person when he came into this world. Not even Christ. Christ was a baby when he came into this world. And he had to learn so many things. Now, when we come into this world, we come as babies, we must learn. There's a lot of things we need to learn. And have you ever noticed that babies and children, they learn? you can take a young child and go put them among, you know, parents that speak a completely different language, even a complicated language. That child will just learn the language as naturally as if it was, you know, his own language, even though he might have been born of different parents. When they are raised and they are there, they just learn. They soak. I mean, naturally, children are like a sponge, a soaking knowledge. Because that's how God designed this, you know, human frame. Soaking knowledge. And then there are teachers also that will help us along the way. But we learn. We learn and we learn, you know, and according to, you know, Habakkuk 2 and 14, the depth of knowledge is like the sea, like the waters cover the sea. The depth of the knowledge of the glory of God, you know, no matter what you already know, you can get more. Bring your vessels, not a few, and come and learn the knowledge of the glory of God. You can bring a bucket, you can bring a barrel, you can even bring a tanker. It's as the waters cover the sea. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to leave it there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over the room again that you inspire our hearts to seek out knowledge. Even as it is written, I gave my heart to seek out knowledge of all things that are done under the sun. And this knowledge gave the man an advantage. And they sought out his knowledge from all over the world, even the Queen of Sheba. So, Lord, we thank you for knowledge and inspiration of knowledge in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Help us to learn and come to the knowledge of the truth. And as we come more and more into the knowledge of the Christ, we know that the Lord is being formed in us more and more. As it is written, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed fully in you. Thank you, Father, for the knowledge also that you giving us and inspiring us to acquire even of the physical realm, to put ourselves in a place of advantage. May we never be at a disadvantage because we choose to refuse knowledge. May that not be our portion. May we choose to learn and to increase our learning. A wise man will learn and increase their knowledge. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.